Pull the motherfucking can, dude. I want to dance so bad. I can't fuck.
No, you, hey, trust me. Hey, yo.
Well, you're a great dancer, bro.
Yo,
yeah. Motherfucking shit, nigga. Man, please. All right, now tell me that. I want to dance.
Yo.
All right, then. All right, what do I do? What do I do?
Yo.
Show us the dance.
Yo, that's all
that's
you need.
Good. That's good.
Really? All right, fuck. All right, cool.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Evan Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson, the great Mike, voice, man.
Thanks, brother. I'm working on it, just having fun with it, you know? So we don't do the same thing every time. Hey man, we've got Omarion in the house, brother.
Hey.
How are you, man?
What's up, brother? How you doing, brother? What's your brother?
And your brother.
Orion.
Orion.
Yes.
Great names. You guys.
Thanks to moms.
Yeah, moms is into the stars, huh? She's yeah. Like a star.
That's cool. I definitely vibe with that, man.
Yeah.
Well, take us back, brother. You've had a really successful career in music and transitioning into the acting world as well. And tell us about, you know, growing up. You're born in Englewood, right down the street.
Yeah.
L.A. native.
You still have family down there?
Yeah, still have family. All my family is here. You know, Los Angeles is a very unique place, especially, you know, just as far as, you know, cultural, you know, goes.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Yes, it's an amazing place. And shout out to my Nana, you know, that kept, you know, me and my brother well cultured. A lot of people don't know. But at a very young age, I was a professional rollerblader.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that like?
How old?
Keep it real. You hurt yourself a lot?
No. I was one of those kids that's like, you know, I didn't really have fear like that. So, you know, I put on a pair of rollerblades, and we used to go to Santa Rosa. There used to be this camp called Camp Snoopy. And we would go out there every year, and we would just like.
Santa Rosa up north?
Yeah.
You do that shit too?
Dude, Mike, I fucking was playing roller hockey, rollerblading around Brooklyn from the time I was about 8 years old until I got to high school and started playing football.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a special place to me. You know, my mom is actually a hairstylist, and before I was entertaining, I went to Hamilton High. It's actually a lot of alumni come out of Hamilton High.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Shia LaBeouf went to Hamilton.
Mm. Wow, really?
Robert Richard went to Hamilton. It's a magnet program, but it's like a creative school. There's few schools in California like where other successful people came out of. Like Will I Am went to Palisades. You know, anyone that's from California, like, you know, this part of L.A., usually go to the same school, you know what I'm saying? So
how do your guys hang out? So what do? You see your school used to play his school in sports?
Well, who are you talking about?
Will I Am.
Oh, no. Oh, well, yeah. Hamilton plays, you know, Crenshaw. That's, you know, a lot of players came from Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Dorsey.
Dorsey. Dorsey, man. I had a lot of teammates come out of Dorsey.
Yeah, Dorsey. D-House. D-House. Yeah, so.
Great football program.
Yeah, so, you know, L.A., you know, Hollywood, all of this, these are our stomping grounds. This is where we're born and bred and created from, you know what I'm saying?
Interesting place to be from.
Yeah, it is.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it could be good or bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know?
You want to get a nice mix, though.
A mix of good and bad?
Yeah.
What's the good and the bad?
I'm scared of bad.
Tell us the good and the bad of L.A. growing up.
I'm fucking scared of bad. Anything bad, I'm scared of. Anything fucking bad.
Well, the gang culture here was very prevalent, you know, and a lot of people, you know, being young and kind of having it in my household, you know, because it was a very it was normal to us. You know, my dad was in YA at 15, you know, and my mom had me at 16. So it was like really like kids.
Oh,
yeah,
your age, y'all got younger than your guys, huh?
Yeah. So,
wow.
That's hardcore living, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, like I was saying, gang culture is very prevalent in LA. So, you know, kids having kids, you know, you do the best that you can. You know what I'm saying?
No fucking book on how to do that shit. I ain't no blueprint.
Yes, no blueprint. You just gotta go. Yeah. So, you know, luckily we have some, you know, my grandma. My nana, shout out to my nana.
Shout out to grandma.
Nana, we love you.
My mother-in-law too and father-in-law, they're the best in the world.
Awesome.
They like that. What that white chick Hillary Clinton said, and listen, she must have learned that from some old wise person. Take the village to raise the child.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You need everybody in the fucking family to help out.
No doubt.
Even if you got to break them off, and you need the family. Just, it's gonna go fucked up.
Yeah, for sure.
Bad. I got experience. It's gonna go real bad.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Takes a village.
Yeah. So, with them being so young, you know, gang culture was like pretty normal here. You know what I'm saying? So, we grew up with pretty much people that we just seen stand up for ourselves, and that's why we wanted to be like them.
Gang guys now are pretty friendly kind of guys.
Like, no, it's different. It's
like
definitely different.
They're like celebrities now. You know what I mean? People know who they are. Everybody, every police station know who they are. That, you know what I mean? No one knows. They have no privacy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah, it's not the same. When we were growing up, all of who we considered our big homies was like, you know, they had things. You know, they had money. You know, they dressed well, even though it was like in, you know, khaki suits. And
but they looked good, and they had the best-looking girls. Yeah. That's what really good. They got the girls.
So. Yeah, that was the swag. So growing up here in California, you know, definitely a part of some cliques, some different little gangs. My best friend actually... Shout out to BD. You know, he has life in prison, actually.
Big B.
BD. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's my boy right there. But I always look at our relationship. We literally started our friendship in kindergarten. And, you know, he's a Mexican brother. And, you know, life was just so different for him as far as the opportunities, you know. And it was just so interesting throughout my life that even still to this day when I talk to him, you know, it's like he's a different person. He's so his perspective of life. He's always telling me, you know, like, hey, oh, don't worry about that, man. You know, or you might want to think twice about that, oh, because you don't want to end up in this place.
Look at this perspective. Why do you think that he's in there and you're out here?
I think it was just choice, just opportunity and choice and perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know. That was available for, I mean, you know, we hung out all the time. That was available for me, too. But I think because, you know, my mom had us, you know, focusing maybe on other things or maybe that space wasn't so available for us, you know, that I was able to choose something different. Like, everyone's path is different, you know. And it's like, you know, I think we could talk about, you know, what could be done differently, but... When you really look at it and you experience, you're like, man, I needed to go through that in order to receive that information. So I think it's just so interesting that even though we grew up in the same space, you know, our information and our past was just really completely different.
I think that's an important thing, you know, about having you can only do the best possible thing for yourself with the information you have at the time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's just one of those inevitable things of life. Because you can hear it, you know, as kids, like, you hear a lot of shit as a kid from older people telling you things about how life is and how it's going to be. And a lot of it just goes in one ear and out the other because you're like, fuck that. That's not me, bro. I won't deal with that.
Listen.
But it takes that experience.
Then why is it this way? Why does God... program us to look for answers that we know we never find in our lifetime.
Mm. Mm.
Or do we find them and we're not aware of it?
I think you both. You know, I think that you can, like you were just saying about BD, you know, you can go through and the differences between one guy and another. One guy having one path and another guy taking another one. You know, it's about you can only get those answers through the experience you have because you think that that's the best way to do it at the time. And then you go down that path and you go, oh, fuck, well, this led to prison or whatever it might have led to, divorce, something bad happening in your family, you know, the consequences of your actions. And you can only learn that through experience.
How do you get concept of that?
Through getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's really important.
In all aspects of life,
through just getting your ass kicked and getting up again, you know?
Right.
I mean, Mike, you talked about it before. You know, you try 100 times, you fail 100 times, you learn 100 lessons.
Exactly.
You know? And it's really, because, you know, if we're on this ride with the universe, we're just riding this cosmic wave, all of us, you know, and you can only do the best you can with what you have, then it's really just up to us to get out of our way.
Stuff, now I got to come back to this stuff. You know, you know why I get mad sometimes? I'm disgusted. I'm depressed. You know why?
Yeah.
I say, why do I exist? Why do I exist to feel pain like this? Mm. Why did God make me exist so I could feel pain? I did nothing wrong with anybody. Why do I have to exist?
Yeah.
At least I don't think I did anything wrong. My consciousness don't know if I really did anything wrong to exist.
Yeah.
What's my purpose? To beat motherfuckers up? To get in this weed business and make a lot of money? What is it to do? To meet people, to meet you, to talk to you.
Yeah.
To help me in my journey, to figure out who I am. I don't know. What is this all about? Why do I have to exist? Why do I have to die? Fuck.
Right.
Maybe
you don't. Yeah.
Maybe I wake up when I think I do die. I wake up. Oh, fuck.
Into the next life.
And I say, what the fuck?
You wake up in the next life.
What the fuck?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, why does anything have to exist? Why does anything exist? It's all expressions of life.
Well, from my perspective, if I could candidly speak on, you know, how you've inspired people and you've inspired, you know, me particularly, just as far as, you know, the will to not give up in a fight, because, you know, unlike a lot of, I guess people don't really know, when you're fine tuning and refining your skills, how much time you actually spend doing just that, and how that really becomes a comfort and almost a separate identity from how people know you outside of that. And you have such a high skill set that, you know, I just connect with that. I watched you on recently online, and you had a blindfold and you were throwing a dart. And something unique that I saw when I was watching that was your ability to hear the sound and figure out where your target was without seeing it. And that just takes a lot of time.
That's so interesting that you said that. And that was one of those moments. That's one of your Zen moments where I had no idea I had no idea what was going to happen, but I just knew it was going to be good. Mm. I said, what did I say?
You hit three bullseyes.
I said, Shaolin monk. I said, this is going to be some Shaolin monk shit. What? And it's once they put the knife, no. The first one was, no. The first one, I practiced the first one, and it was it. I missed the board.
Okay.
It's a practice. They gave me a practice, and I missed the fucking board. And then they blindfolded me. I hit three bullseyes. I said, what the fuck happened? Now, how did that happen?
No.
I did a practice shot without the fucking mask and I missed the board. I'm not going without the mask and I missed the board. I said, fuck.
Yo, I really connected with that, and I could tell that that's just next level. You know, you spent a lot of time, you know, in your field. You know what I mean? Being the best.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, that's what life is about.
Reaching your highest potential?
Yeah. And it echoes on both sides, because now you are doing the weed business. That's a part of healing. That's a part of healing. Look at, like, the first half of your life. And then, you know, you fought most of your life. And now you're healing. You know what I mean? And I feel
okay,
like it's
like
a,
that.
It's
I'm
a beautiful
go with thing. That one. That
That's really
beautiful.
True.
I like that one. That
it's
one
well
cool.
said, bro. It's
that
well
was
said.
That was some Zen shit right there. Like,
yeah.
I'm, in other words,
Omari's
I'm,
plugged
and,
in,
no,
dude.
Did, right? In other words, I'm repenting. All the people I hurt or whatever, and I hurt even myself. I hurt myself.
Right.
I'm repenting. Right? I'm repenting.
Yeah, because I definitely want to come to the facility.
Oh, that facility.
Oh, you're there, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And me and my brother, we just a couple of days ago had our first experience with Aya.
Tell me about Aya.
Ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you're all tapped in.
Oh,
I got you.
That's all right. Cool. Let's go
I see
the,
you.
Let's go to the next level. Hit him.
You know what I'm saying?
Hit him with the next level.
Well, so you know about, do you know about the toad?
Oh, that was going to be our next experience.
Oh,
yeah, the
okay.
Campbell. The Campbell, right?
That's Combo. Combo is another frog. That's the green.
Oh, that's skinny frog.
It's a big frog in the Amazon.
Oh, it's a skinny frog.
And this produces, I've done Combo and ayahuasca, but what I'm talking about is the toad, Bufo alvarius, which is 5-MeO-DMT. So
what is that?
Ayahuasca. Oof. Is DMT. So if ayahuasca is like the riverboat, because you're there all night, you're in it.
Right.
The riverboat to God, the toad is the spaceship to God.
Oh.
So it's a 15-minute
15-minute
blast off. You go ego death, experience God, download thousands of years of information and minutes. You know, are released from trauma and pain. Mike has done it a few times now.
How was it?
Can't even explain. You're going to have to do it. It's inconceivable.
Wow.
You can't believe it. You won't believe it.
Wow.
You have to do it again. You say, let me do it again. Even though you're afraid to death to do it again, you have to do it. Right. You say, this shit is not real. I have to see this.
Whoa.
Combo's great as a prep to the toad as well.
Okay.
You don't really need a prep. Mike just went in. Mike went in hard to the toad.
If
but
I would have got a prep, if I would have saw somebody do it, I would never have done it. I would just high and I said, give me the fucking shit. And he gave it to me and my whole life has been changed. I've never been the same way.
Yeah.
I never got high again. Never did cocaine, no hair. I never did no more drugs again and stuff.
Whoa.
Never drank again.
Word.
No, it's my whole perspective.
Tell us about your ayahuasca experience.
Yeah, did you shit on yourself?
Nah.
No?
Yeah, I didn't have any of that either.
Yeah, nah.
I threw up after we did hape. The hape?
Uh-uh.
Where they blow the ash in your nose?
Oh.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
That's some good shit.
That sounds good.
Whoa,
to me.
That's
intense.
Some good shit.
I like stuff up my nose.
So hape is this ash that's from all these Amazonian herbs and a special kind of tobacco.
Oh, okay.
And it's burned down to an ash, and then they put it in an animal horn.
I feel like they did that
and blow it up your nose.
I saw that in like 1901.
Both sides. Yeah.
Now what is that? I thought that was a form of cocaine. I thought that's the way they did cocaine back
then. Yeah. I mean, it's different. It's.
I saw that in a movie in the Victorian day, the 1890s. And stuff
It's just clears out your whole nervous system. It's fucking, you feel it like fireworks in each hemisphere of your brain.
Wow.
Open shit up. It's supposed to clear out energy blockages and like,
wow,
you know, your different energy fields. Yeah. And you do that before and during ayahuasca. So I was doing that and that took me to the fucking next level when I was on the ayah. So tell us about it.
Man, it was amazing.
It's amazing.
It was amazing, first of all. I didn't really know what to expect. But I was comfortable with letting myself go.
Mm. Oh,
and,
yeah, you got to try the toad. If you're good with that, you need to try the toad.
Yeah, yeah, so the information that I got from Aya was basically that life is a dance, and we just have to keep dancing.
I love that, bro.
And that's what I received, you know what I mean? And I was just like really happy with where I'm at in my life. And, you know, I have two kids, you know what I'm saying? So I have a good piece of motivation right there. I have I'm real optimistic
right,
about
so
what's
going to
happen
right?
in the future. Man.
So, see, so now, if you did the toad, right, everybody around you said, what the fuck is wrong with you? They would all see your glow. They would say, what the fuck is wrong? They couldn't get away from you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't want to be. It'd be so, it's so enlightened, nigga. Nigga, listen, where your whole life would change. You'd never be the same again.
That's what I'm all about. That.
Listen, I came here. I don't know what I was. I came here, did the toad, then I did it again, and it told me to get in condition. I lost 50 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
It talks to you, Nick. Oh, nigga, you gotta have experience with God. You like God, you believe in God, and all that shit. Listen, I always use God for some kind of fucking religion. I used to use it for a purpose to use thing and get my interest and stuff. I really understood it was a God. There is God, nigga. Mm-hmm. And you don't see him, you feel. It's all about feeling. Doing the toad is about feeling. You don't see him. You go. You might listen. You might get stuck crying. You might be so. And it ain't nothing there. You just feel afraid.
Right.
I had nothing. I couldn't fight nothing. Nothing. I was afraid.
Wow.
It's fool. Then you come happy. You be the happiest moment in your life. Then you get back in life. You wake up and it's a downer. The world's a downer. You want to go back. Like I woke up. I was so afraid. But when I woke up. Oh, God, I don't want to be here no more. I took another hit. Give me some more. Oh, it's a downer when you wake up. You don't want to be here no more.
Damn. Yeah.
Because you reached that state of bliss.
Yeah.
You felt that feeling. You ain't going to feel that good. Oh, you feel everything you ever did in your life, your first kiss, your first drink of water, your first drink, your
whoa,
first
everything, that's heavy.
First candy, your first dirt, your first
snack,
your first
that.
Shit, your first piss, all feelings all at once.
Whoa.
Anything you ever felt in your life, you feel it all at once.
Yeah.
Every feeling, everything. You're one with the whole world. We're one with that paper, rocks, the bugs, shit, grass, all of it is us.
Yeah.
Right.
The metallics in the grass and the ground, all that stuff, the minerals, we're all that.
Right. Man, that's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah, we're everything.
That's cool that you're on that journey, dude.
Yeah, man, it feels appropriate, you know, well, thanks to my brother.
It is.
Yeah.
Listen, right. If we finish this life and we die, and we don't get to know this, we have a wasted life.
Yeah.
It
was wasted. We don't get to know us.
Yeah.
It's wasted.
And Mike, when you say that's a, you know, because when you say that in conjunction with a conversation about these powerful molecules, chemicals.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because these substances, that's what they're all about. Is learning about the truth of what's in here.
Yeah. Listen, you start asking yourself, why do I do this shit?
Right.
Do I want people to listen to me? Do I want people to look at me? Do I feel beautiful when they do that? Why do I do that? Do I love myself that much?
Yeah.
Am I in love with the illusion of me? Yeah. Why do I do that? You never talk to that on the fucking mic, but to yourself. You start wondering, who the fuck am I? Who the fuck am I? I'm nobody. Who the fuck am I to think people should bow to me or yell my name or applaud?
Right.
You might get mad at yourself.
Yeah, it's
who
true.
Am I? Who the fuck am I? These guys love me and stuff. Yeah. Do they know who I really am? Do they know what I did? Cheated on my girlfriend or something like that?
Yeah.
Do they know those qualities I possess and they still wanted me to be around them?
Right.
You finally feel, why do I do that now? You try to figure out who you are. What the fuck? And it's this one, right? In our whole life, we look for answers and we die knowing nothing. But we don't stop looking. Until the last second we're living, we're still fucking searching. We don't figure out shit.
Yeah, see, I feel a good, strong sense of purpose. And I think when you have a sense of purpose, you know, you're able to just anchor yourself a little bit better.
What made you want to come back?
It was a lot of things, mainly my kids.
Yeah.
I use the energy of, you know, the kid in me and my kids to bring about, you know, maybe some things that maybe I, you know, couldn't do 10 years ago, like forgive.
Mm. Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
If you think that's hard, try forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
Try that. You think forgiving somebody else is hard.
But
try forgiving yourself. Try that.
No.
That's another level. That's a whole total another level.
Yeah, I mean, but when you really, like as you were saying, you know, you're only able to do, you know, what you know, so to speak. When you really understand how much you don't know, that kind of changes the game, you know? That changes the game because then, you know, you want to learn more. And then when you get your grip on more, you know, you got to ask yourself why you want more, you know? And in order to get to a certain level, you got to have purpose. Because if you don't have purpose, then you're going to keep asking yourself that question.
What's your purpose?
Yeah.
I think my purpose is the purpose of everyone, and that is to share. Mm. I think that we're all here to share, and I think that if we share, you know, that's a part of the dance as well. You know, a lot of people don't even dance with women, and actually, that message has been kind of lost. And I really hope men understand the importance of dancing and having that conversation with a woman. Because
both the motherfucker can't dance. I want to dance so bad I can't.
No, you, hey, trust me, hey, yo,
well, you're a great dancer, bro.
Yo,
yeah, motherfucking shit, nigga. Man, please. All right, now tell me that I want to dance. Yo, I can't dance. All right, what do I do?
Yo,
show us the dance.
Yo, that's all you need.
That's good.
All you need is this.
Really? All right, fuck. All right, cool.
There you go.
Okay.
Because life is a rhythm.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Just like a punch.
No,
like
that's cool. I'm listening.
Oh, there you
it's
go.
The same thing.
Oh, nigga, nobody better not laugh. My wife and nobody better not laugh. Dancing, nigga. And what the fuck are you
doing? No, I totally vibe with that, bro.
No, I caught a couple of episodes when you was on Dancing with the Stars.
That was during hard times.
You was. Yeah, I was learning that choreography.
Yes,
that was dope.
Yeah,
my wife was mad that the girl was trying to take my handkerchief and wipe my face. She wanted to fight the Italian girl and stuff.
But yeah, like so what the my point is that and you know, shout out.
This nigga gonna give him a fucking show. I can tell. A fucking love, black love extraordinaire.
Black love, dude.
But
it's good stuff.
Me and my brother, we were just in New York. And shout out to the 36 Chambers. We went out there and it's
Raekwon
pretty,
and all those guys was out there.
No, it's actually 36 Chambers is this
that's Charlene
dance.
Back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. Fucking 36 woo. Chambers is style, but it's dance.
Gordon Liu, nigga.
Oh yeah. No, salute to the gods. Salute to the gods. But 36 Chambers is style. It's actually a dance camp that you know, a lot of just legendary dance, you know, artists through the ages, they put on together, and it's 36 different styles.
Really?
So when you go to the class, you learn, you know, about partnership. You learn about, you know, where a lot of moves originated. And me and my bro, we just went like a month ago. And the whole conversation was like, we had a partner day, and throughout the partner day, you just switch partners all day. And that's like the whole purpose of dancing is to share. And if everyone could really understand that that's what life is about, is sharing, I think we would have a better
world. Okay, cool.
You know,
wait, so let's listen. Share. All right. Yeah. Pick this out.
Let me go.
My wife.
Yeah.
Her assistant. Mm-hmm. Baby, share with me.
Right.
She assists you, she assists me later.
Right.
That's cool, right?
Yeah.
Why would she be mad?
Oh, now we talking about ladies.
Yeah, he said,
we're
listen,
talking about.
Now if we talk about women, that's different.
Yeah,
it's a complex thing.
Yeah, why? Because you're saying it's sharing. And listen, some cultures that's good, but why not in this culture? Who said this? Before someone said this, we should only have one mate. Who said that? What queen? What queen got the king pussy whipped that he said, hey, this is how it's going to be.
Well,
that's how it happened. Some queen got somebody pussy whipped, and he was powerful, and that's what happened. That's what happened. Common sense, you know, that's what happened. Or his mother. It had to be a woman's figure. Most of the strongest, powerful warriors in the world were all pussy whipped from their mother. They're afraid of their mothers and shit. Alexander the Great, Napoleon.
I don't know where that culture comes
from. That's interesting.
I don't know where that culture comes from. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where that originated. But I do agree with you.
And I'm not saying we should have more than one wife, you know, something like that. But, like, where did that concept come from? Who created that concept that only one would do? It says in the Quran, you can have four, but only if you knew only one would do.
Yeah, that's.
Who would want to have that concept? Nobody rational would want to have that concept. They may not say so now because people may look at it, but a rational guy would say, well, that doesn't make sense, only one person and one. But why? Who made sense out of that? Who made sense out of that?
Go ahead, man.
I think that there is different perspectives, and I think sometimes maybe if, you know, someone looked at someone being in love and maybe with one person, that they would assume that that is the way to be. And it kind of echoes this sentiment that maybe at some point in time it only took one woman. Maybe it did at one point in time. You know? Maybe it takes several women. Maybe it's different for you. Maybe it's different for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it's all different. As men, in our brain, we're wired to spread our seed, to get ourselves to reproduce as much as possible, to progenerate, to create, you know, more versions of us. We're actually wired for that. So, which is a very real instinct in men, you know, and it's very difficult to overcome.
But listen, we might be wired. We're wired for that feeling of coming.
Yes.
Because I don't feel good having a bunch of kids all over the place.
No, you don't. You don't feel good. You don't feel good about that.
I don't feel good doing that.
I agree. And I think that you don't feel good either with a bunch of meaningless partners.
Exactly.
You know? So, you know, to me.
Meaningless partners destroyed me. Oh,
likewise.
My life. Destroyed my fucking life. Yes, brought me down. These bros brought me to my fucking bed. Me begging. Oh, fuck. Begging
right.
them to kill me more.
So then, Mike. So then.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's real. That's real. So then, ask yourself.
On me. I shouldn't have never been fucked with no bitches. Right?
So then,
never on me.
Doesn't
God
that
please, these women got me good, man?
Doesn't it become then that you would rather have one partner?
That's why in the even Quran though, said you can have four, but only if you knew one would do. Imagine four headaches. Imagine them all living in the same house.
But imagine all of them loving you. And giving you
nigga,
power.
Let's not go to that other level, nigga.
But I'm just saying.
Maybe that would be real for a moment. But eventually, things would change.
I've done that when I was younger. I had a bunch of girls in the same room. We used to hit them all the time. Do all the stuff. And then they come. And this happens. You like one of them more than you like the next one. How did that happen? Not the pussy.
Then one of them probably thinks that you are theirs more than the others.
Yeah, but see,
no, because,
I think that's the wrong focus. That's the wrong focus.
Right.
Because it's
but
not
it's
about.
It's natural.
Yeah, it's very natural. But, you know, that's. I would say you have one of one. All your relationships, if you really individualize
it
all of them.
It would always be one that we like more than another. I would think.
But not even that. It's not about liking one more than the other. It's about what we have. It doesn't matter what I have with her because you don't understand that. You don't know that. What me and her have is what we have, and that's what that is. And then what me and you have is what we have.
No, this is how
it's
I
all
feel
separate.
Like this. No, that's good. That's beautiful. But this is how I feel right now. This
sense.
Is how I'm programmed now. All right, this is my wife. It ain't no more bullshit. I'm not the fucking freak no more.
Right.
I don't want to be that person. I want to dedicate my life to this fucking woman right here.
Yeah.
So how did I become the fucking anybody can have me guy to this?
Well, you felt all the pain, dude.
Yeah, and there's no doubt because you don't feel good after fucking a billion bitches or something, a lot of bitches.
Yeah.
You start feeling like these. I thought I was getting some of these bitches is taking away so much from me.
Yeah.
I feel like shit. I don't feel good no more. Yeah. Every time I'm in a room, I see somebody that have a family and I may have been with them, but they're happy and I'm miserable.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I should be saying, hey, I busted, I had all this. But I feel like shit. I feel like they walked all over me. I feel like they all took pieces from me.
Right. Isn't that
I feel
interesting?
Like a bitch. Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's interesting, though.
It is.
I don't have them. The idea of all this shit was to possess them. I don't possess them. It's whoever got them on the table where they possess them. What do they know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just
nothing. Yeah, and even that, it's like possessing somebody. That's momentary. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Like, well, no, it is, yeah. My wife looked at me the other day and said, wow, one day this is going to be over. I'm not going to be able to see you anymore.
You know,
that's crazy, man.
And that could be true and that could be a lie. Because to me, but not even that, you know, to me, it's like I stain you. I'm a part of your story now. You can't go nowhere.
So tell me this.
Yeah.
You must have a harem, so you haven't.
No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. No,
I stained you.
Yeah, I stained you.
You only have one person that you stained, or how many four people you stained?
No, I actually.
You may do a lot of staining. You painted a lot of
pictures.
You painted a lot of pictures.
No. Actually, I think that. You know, you can really truly, the universe cultivates how, you know, someone, you know, interacts with you and in your life and in your journey.
Why do you think that we have to have interaction, so much interaction with women so consistently. And because most animals only fuck in a certain season.
Right.
If they see them out of season, they're fighting to the death.
Yeah. I mean,
so why do you think
that's a good question.
So why do you think we need to have so many in such an orphan situation?
I don't know the consistency of it. Right. I don't know that it's about, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, it's an aspect of creation there. It's an aspect of creating your new version of yourself, your new, you know.
In every relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah, with every person.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And also in sex, because sex is very powerful, and a lot of things change in that space, you know, and when.
I don't believe sex is powerful. It's overrated. I don't believe it's that powerful. I'm a situation where women are riding guys and they're getting their fucking, their tights, their fucking.
Right.
Like,
but it's not, but see, it's not a physical thing. It's not
energetic.
Physical.
No, it has to be. It has
no,
to be
it's all. It's
first.
All. No,
it has to be chemistry first before.
That's what I'm saying.
It's all imagination. It's all the thought that me and this girl's gonna be fucking on. The thought of having sex is more exciting than actually doing it.
Yeah, but you know? but when you understand the power of a touch, when you understand the power of a touch, that changes the game. And when a woman understands the power of a touch, it can literally heal you.
Mm. Well, she understands it. You don't. We don't understand.
But that's the point. You have to progress in that. You have to want to become whole with that. You have to want to become one with that. And when you become one with that, you basically create that drug. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
You get a fix.
Yeah.
So you got to submit to that, you're saying?
In a way.
Yeah, okay, cool.
In a way. But in a way, you have to go against it. It's a balancing act. You know, it's a dance. You have to know when to go and know when to leave.
I don't know. I think the less you fuck them, the less problems they are.
Depending on how you fuck them.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many different ways to look at it. You know, it's so many different ways to look at it. You know, all
I think it's the right way, man.
It's all of our experiences are different. I've had
it all has to be dignity and the respect.
Yes. Yeah, always first. Absolutely. Always first. Always first, because it can't be taken. It has to be given. You know?
Always.
It has to be received too. You know what I'm saying? It's a reciprocal. It's a reciprocal relationship.
You feel that way after you get kids, but before you have kids, that doesn't even enter your mind.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. I wasn't thinking about none of this.
Yeah, for sure.
After I had kids, I said,
you have
girls? My God. Huh? Yeah, I have a girl.
So imagine thinking about a girl meeting a motherfucker like you. Your daughter meeting you. I always think, imagine my daughter meeting a motherfucker like me when I was doing my shit.
Yeah.
Imagine
that problem. Imagine if some guy like that came to my house and a nigga like me.
Right. I would just say, I think about that. I think about that. My daughter's very young. But I always say, you know, if I could remove the experiences, the small experiences that we all have to receive in order to grow, if I could move all of that, if we just put me down to one molecule, I'm a good one. So if my daughter did end up liking someone like me, then I would be okay with it.
What makes us think we're good?
What makes us think
we're bad?
I think your actions,
good and bad.
Yeah, you can, but you have to create the effect that you want. So in order to create the effect that you want, you have to have intention. So your intentions have to be what effect you want.
Well, my intention, imagine my intention is to kill a guy, but I kill him like that.
Yeah, then you might die. But then you might die. If your intention is to kill him, then you might die.
How? You know?
And live.
Spiritually?
You might die and live.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
It depends on your perspective. I'm trying to live. Mm-hmm. I'm going to live. I'm going to survive. I'm going to thrive. I'm going to continue to live.
What are we living for? Reach that potential again, right? Reach that potential, the highest potential.
Yeah, to reach the potential and to share.
Share.
To share. To share. This experience is about sharing. If you're not sharing, then what are you doing? Hmm. We're sharing right now.
Yes,
so
we're
doing our job.
Yes, we are then.
That's how I feel.
I like this theory. It's not gonna go over good with my wife, but I really like the theory.
Well, hold on. Let me just say this, okay? And with all due respect to all the goddesses and queens, because I'm single right now, so I can explore, you know, what I would like to explore. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you single with all the smooth moves you got?
Well,
you're a logistic lover, man.
because I think that it's been a good time.
I be looking at fucking the shows, nigga. I know your shit, nigga. So why?
No, honestly, I'm such a focused person. I'm a very focused person.
You are.
You know what I'm saying? So I try to manage, you know what I'm saying, my appetite, because I'm so focused that, you know, my appetite could get crazy. So I try to manage myself as best as I can. And right now, it's really like my kids are about to start school next week for the first time. Mm. I'm getting into another bag of parenthood. Yeah. So I can't.
Totally new dimension in life.
Yeah, I can't really have the, I don't have the energy, and I can't really I can't repeat myself.
Brother,
I can't repeat myself.
We're on the same level right now. Yeah. It's just I'm done.
Yeah,
that nigga that I was before, it's over.
He's dead. Yeah, gone. I can't repeat myself, and I can't explain. It's you know, gone. If you could pick it up, that would be amazing. You know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of things going on. Yeah. And really, that's all about the kids. That's all about my kids. You know what I'm saying? To really be able to create some better opportunities for them, so when it's time for them to go on their journey and face what they need to face, that they have just a little bit more information.
How do we become good parents? What's a fucking good parent?
I think it's your effort. Yeah. You know, it's your honest effort. It's like, what do you give a fuck about? Whatever that is, as long as you support that and they're there for that consistently, that's a good parent. But a fucked up parent is obviously someone that does nothing or selfish or, you know, they have their own things that they're dealing with that kind of take precedence over stepping outside of yourself and being able to decide something for the collective. That's what
a good answer.
You know what I'm saying? Parent is like it's about the collective.
Come on, we got to get him on these fucking talk tours, man, with Tony Robbins and shit.
I know, dude.
Oh, Mike.
He's got a lot of knowledge, is bro. It,
you know, my the other day someone said, what did he say? He said something about positivity. What did he say? Oh, he said vicious positivity. You know, and when he said that, that really resonated with me, because that's what people need.
Yeah,
vicious positivity, because shit is fucked up.
Because everything positive we say gets multiplied 20 times, 100 times by negativity.
Yep.
So we can't say positive shit enough. It's overwhelmed.
Thank
we
you.
Still got to say,
Thank you.
We're getting our ass kicked with negativity, but we still got to say positive. We're not winning, but we still got to say positive.
Exactly.
Now, that's some bullshit, right? But that's the game, nigga.
That's it.
Keep it going.
It ain't keep it going. It's like, okay, we recognize that's there, so let it be there and let us focus on positivity.
It ain't going nowhere.
And it ain't going nowhere.
The more positive you are, the more it does this push up and
facts.
Let this weight to come at
facts.
You.
Facts. In different ways, you got to dance with it.
It's gonna make you say, dance with me, mother. Exactly.
Yeah. Capoeira.
The darkness is relentless, so the light has to be relentless.
Yeah, but sure. Balance.
That's it. There will always be the two.
I don't have no bounce. I just go full positivity.
Me too, bro.
Hey, full
me
positivity.
Too, brother.
Yeah.
You know, full positivity.
That's it. That's fucking it. How far apart in age are you guys?
2 years.
2 years?
Young cats.
Hey, I'll say something,
bro.
Peace,
shit,
love, and abundance, y'all.
Oh, man.
Nice.
We got a Swami in here.
Nice, dude.
We're going to get a cult member. This is a cult member right here.
Hey, that's,
you can get
that's
a cult going, for real.
The ladies love it, you know what I'm saying?
And oh, he's a lover.
Look up
that's
to
how
it.
The cult, that's yeah. how the
you
cult
got
starts.
Into.
That's how the cult starts. You get the women, you get the cults. You saw Charles Manson? You get the women, you get the cults. All those guys that had the cults had all the women. They had like a harem. They always harems. All those guys had harems of women.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were raised by all women, you know. Yeah. We didn't really have
it's
a lot
great,
of male
man.
Influence, you know, as much as maybe we would have wanted, you know what I mean? But women have taught us a lot, you know, and we appreciate them. And I think that we should appreciate each other more, you know what I'm saying? And I think that the world would be a different place if we could do that, if we could have a better conversation.
Why do we have bad interactions with women? I'm not talking about just black. I'm talking about in general. Why do we have different perspectives?
I think because we don't understand them, you know what I'm saying? We don't understand.
No, they don't understand us probably.
Yeah, but somebody got to make the first, you know, move. Yeah.
Why don't you think God is a woman?
It probably is.
Yeah. All right. What do you think? I always think that too. Maybe it's God's woman. She's playing with. Maybe it's a homophobia. How can he be? Yeah, how,
both genders.
How could God be one gender and have more
divinity.
Have more favor for one gender and not for the other? How could that be God as we perceive
it's genderless?
God, just as we perceive God.
Yeah, because love is probably not a procreation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's not a sexual thing. You know, it's probably something else. I don't know. Like, definitely the mother's touch. Like, that's love to us too. You know what I'm saying? So I think the extension and understanding of God is just unfathomable
this plane. That's what I believe. We can't even fathom his position of love.
Yo.
Of hate.
What? Oh. Like oh. But it's all a beautiful creation, you know? And you got to learn how to...
That's when you take the toll. You can't even fathom the love and the blissness that you feel. Right. That's why you say you have to go back. The life is a fucking downer once you take that, nigga.
Yeah.
Ooh, you said, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
No, I'm so happy that I was able to procreate for real. Like, and I look at my kids, and because that shit is beautiful to me. And, man, like, that definitely keep me going. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because, you know, the world is not.
I look at my kids and I say, what do they want out of life? Mm. What are they going to get out of life? Mm. Because of the life I gave them, that might hinder them. Mm. Imagine my life. I had nothing. My mother was a prostitute. My father, I had nothing. I was a fucking shit. I was filth. Those are my best qualities that I came from those, that kind of lifestyle, the kind of living and stuff.
Yeah.
My kids, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's not bad. Ain't nothing wrong with having a good life or anything. But I look at them and I say, wow, this is how I would have been if this would have been my family. If I'd have had my parents, this is how I would have been. And I say, ooh, I don't know.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
Whoa, thank God.
Well, isn't it interesting how.
I have a chance. That means I did have a chance. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I could do it in that so low situation, imagine I'll do good in a middle-class situation or a high-end situation. But then again, I go back to this. How come sometimes the poor man is blessed and the fucking rich man is cursed?
Yeah, man.
You don't know. You know? Why is that?
It's interesting.
Why one guy falls out the bed and died, the other guy falls 10 stories and lives?
Because of polarity. We live in
the polarity.
Yeah.
I mean? It's a law destiny. Of the universe.
Yeah.
Some people have destiny. Polarity. I believe people have destiny. Yeah. I believe people are... How do you die? What do you see before you die? The God goes like this, or the universe goes like this? You've seen enough. Boom, it's over. When I see this, it's over. Well, this is enough for you to
see. It's an interesting thought. I've had that myself.
Yeah, you don't need to see no more. It's inconceivable for you. You won't understand. You're out of your league now. It's time for you to go.
You've done enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe somebody's 20 years old or 25 and they say, you've done enough. You inspired the person I need is inspired right now. Bye.
Right.
How does that work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, that's heavy.
Because if it's all spirit and it's all God, then you kind of have to go there. You know, we're all here and it's all written already. And you're riding that wave and we're all doing it together. Why do some people go earlier than others? You know?
Yeah.
It's fuck, well, man.
Do we actually meet the maker when we die?
Maybe you just go again.
Yeah.
You just go right again. You get born again. You come through the portal one more time, you know?
Now, do you imagine? I can't imagine this, but I'm sure they might be, but I can't imagine it. But anything that you think of could actually be true in this world, right?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that really actually ever thought about what's going to happen when I die? Or they just take it, hey, when I'm going, bye, see you, baby. You know, really.
Yeah.
Everybody comes to that stage and like, because I haven't thought about when I was living my life and I'm fucking everything, drinking, smoking everything, sniffing everything. I was never thinking about then you get 50 and say, whoa, I'm not going to see another 50 most likely. You know, and what's going to be of me when I no longer exist? Anybody remember me? Will anybody talk about me?
Of course.
Yeah.
What you mean?
No. Would anybody really know me? What image did I put
out? Now they will.
What image did I put out in the world for people?
Right.
I used to put violence out there, the baddest man on the planet, my ego out there.
Mm.
Has the true me ever been really known?
Do you feel like it's being known now?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm on the stand, I say, what the fuck I'm talking, running my fucking, who wants to hear my fucking mouth? What the fuck I know? I got a 9th grade education. How could I know anything? But still, you want to listen to what the fuck I got to say? Mm-hmm. So I say that, I say, what the fuck they're talking about? What do they see that I don't see?
Well, you've had the realization that you know nothing, too.
Yeah.
You know.
I know nothing, but my job on this show is not to let the people know I don't know nothing.
You know? But maybe it is, Mike. Maybe it is, bro.
Let the people know.
You know? Maybe if you acknowledge that, then the asshole down the street who's riddled with ego and all his ideas about what the world is supposed to be, maybe he'll go, oh, wait, maybe I don't know anything.
So I say to myself, listen, we got close to a million views, guys, right? So I say to myself, what do a million people want to hear me say? I'm going to say the word nigga a lot, probably.
Anything you want.
You know? And I don't like the fact that I say that word. I try to stop saying that word, but it comes out, so it just flows out my mouth without me even thinking about it.
Yeah. You go deep, man.
Yo.
You guys are deep dudes, though.
Yo. Tyson, fam, you don't even understand that your effect, fam.
Amen.
You don't even know. You don't even know.
Of your actions.
Yeah. Just,
why would that? Why would you think that, though?
What?
Like, I think about me, I said, whoa, man, you chill out. Because I can't sometimes listen, even in prison, because I know, I said, Mike, you chill out. Because really, you know, you're not like normal people. You got to chill out. You're too sensitive. Hmm. You think everybody's out to get me. I think everybody's out to get me. I think everybody's going to make fun of me about something.
Right.
I got so much insecurity. And, you know, maybe no self-love either. That's how come I act out viciously.
Okay. There we go.
You know?
You want some more, brother?
So, yeah, it's a whole different process. You have to go through that process. You have to first start to love yourself. But I got fame before I knew what self-love was.
Right.
So I was an animal pretty much. Fucked up. Fucked up, the Neanderthal.
Well, how are you?
It was fun, too. Oh,
yeah. How were you supposed to know self-love, though, dude?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
You couldn't know that yet.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I mean, I don't personally, you know, know like the fine details, you know what I'm saying, of your story, but from what I've been able to observe from the outside in, man, you are like definitely, as far as my part
access.
Of time,
it's a lot of affect. It is fucking so much shit. It's
yo, first access. Of all, fam, me being a kid, you know what I'm saying, watching you squab on TV
with the style,
like the quickness, man. Like you was moving, just fuck. Yo, fam, you
I
was
didn't
tapping
look
in.
At it like that.
Yo, you was tapping in. I was like, yo, how's he moving like that? It's still moving so fucking fast. Yo,
defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, don't. Yo.
Much appreciation to your skillful art. You know what I'm saying, or whatever went on in your life that really helped you cultivate that skill. You know what I'm saying, because. Even though, you know, it was whooping people's ass.
I have gratitude that this old Italian guy taught me this shit for free. Can you imagine all that I received? I got that, all this shit that's been done. All I received because this old Italian guy taught me this shit for free.
So somebody loves you.
How much gratitude I have to have?
Yo, somebody loves you, man.
For free? Yeah, I remember when I was a young kid, I showed my friends back in Brownsville, my picture of my new family, this Italian guy, and my friend told me that he got killed. So he said, man, Mike, these white people love me. He said, fuck, I wish I had some white people that love me.
Damn.
Look at this, Mike.
I never forgot that either.
Look what somebody made of you.
What the fuck is that?
Yo, come on, look at that. Yo, first of all, that was...
Mike, you were a superhero for people,
man.
Like, you're coming with the energy. Your energy just radiated across the world, bro. Is that crazy?
Come on.
Somebody made that.
Where did you get that from?
Hey, that shit
was on
Instagram.
Somebody created that. Yo. Somebody created that on Instagram, dude.
Yo.
People are doing shit of you all the time because the energy that you lived with and fought with radiated around the world, man.
Come on. That's power.
I forgot all that shit, nigga. I'm on this new venture.
I know.
Discovering myself.
Yo.
That was another lifetime.
And then when I look at that, the more I feel about myself, the more I realize all this guy was created was out of fear.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
All that came from fear. All that fear. You know, like, I mean, everything people love, they think that's fucking, that's fear. That ain't no ferocious tiger. That's a little scared mouse.
Whoa.
Mike,
so don't fuck with the mouse. Hey, don't fuck with the mouse.
And in some ways, don't fuck with him when he's little. He might get big.
That's what I'm
turn
saying.
Turn into a dragon.
Yo.
Yeah.
But people don't understand that, and they fuck with the mice.
Yeah, don't fuck with the mouse.
Yeah. It's true, man.
All day.
No, I mean, that's why it's fucking dudes like Mike.
Small people get big, man.
Yeah, they do. They get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, you still got pigeons?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Pick up 1,000, nigga.
What?
Damn. This one's a Mike Tyson pigeon coop.
You see the pigeon?
Oh, see. In New York or somewhere. Yeah, Mike Tyson pigeon coop in New York. On Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, me and Jimmy Kimmel. Mike Tyson pigeon on Jimmy Kimmel. He came to my pigeon coop.
Oh, tight. Oh,
that's dope.
That's tight. That's tight.
Can we get this, man? All right, let's go right here. Let's go. God, so many birds. Right there, number three. 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth
number
one.
Number four?
Yeah. Is that me and my birds?
Yeah, see this. Time.
Hey, it's not my coop. It's my coop. It's not my birds. Hey, let's go back to Mike Tyson and his birds. Yeah, let's go.
Number
that's
four?
A pigeon release. No, don't go that way. Oh, stop. Stop, go up some more, More, more. Hold on, what's up? Ricky flying Mike Tyson's pigeons. All right, here's pigeon racing. Go to my pigeon racing.
Okay.
This is Tyson's Corner. This is something I absolutely adore doing, of course. I'm a pigeon man. Anybody that's familiar with having the pigeon bug knows this is going to be amazing to all the other pigeon flies and my friends that see me with the birds. And I wanted to do this because this is a sport that I'm deeply involved in, emotionally too. We got some rare ones. They have these Iranian rollers. You know, I've been doing this since I was 9 years old. You know, of course, people are more familiar with me being a fighter, but during the increment of my career, it's always been, you see cameos of my birds, or you hear me giving comments about my birds and in the interviews. I wanted to show you these.
Ooh, the white bar. Fuck, motherfucker, baby, you're beautiful.
Stop. Sorry, B. White bars, baby. You see this white bar? Oh,
beautiful. You don't see birds like that.
God.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Mike, you still have an East Coast coop?
Yeah, New York.
In New York?
That's tight.
Brooklyn, and you got one in Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you going to have one here or no?
Huh? No, I think they'd be tripping looking at all these houses. My wife's going to get a house in Newport Beach. They ain't going to have no goddamn pigeons. They ain't going to have no hundreds of pigeons flying around and shitting on everything.
Yeah.
On their houses, their cars. The shit is like battery. If you leave it in the car, it just burn right through the car.
Oh.
Pigeon
shit.
Yeah,
people like, no one likes my
you gotta wash it fast.
They tried to stop it in Vegas and stuff.
Oh, but really?
They couldn't stop me. Everybody was so pissed off. The whole block, what's that? The home union, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
HMO.
Homeowners Association. HOA.
They're all so miserable. Yeah. Hate my guts. Oh, like rich and powerful, and they couldn't stop me. Oh, that. I am pissed off!
Mr. Tyson, no more pigeons, please.
Yo.
That's really funny.
HOA up my ass.
HOA.
Yeah, they be trying to get me, man.
Okay.
Fucking HOA. Well, what are you up to these days, brother?
Well, I just got off of the Millennium Tour, which was pretty much like a reunion tour, brought the group back together.
You all got love. All y'all loving? Are you loving because you got love? Everybody got love in the group now?
Yes.
You guys are all cool.
Yeah, I think that there's always, an aperture of love. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how we started.
If anybody I make money with, really, and we partners, I can never be mad with you. I can't be. We just don't get along. We can never be mad. We made money together. I love you. I can't be mad. No.
I think that this was like a real unique opportunity and experience because, you know, we literally haven't been together in 15 years.
You mean we haven't seen each other, like walking
by
the street?
No, we haven't all been in one place for 15 years.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So this tour was, you know, it had its challenges, you know what I'm saying? But, man.
How does the crowd feel when you come out? You still got that kind of love for you? B2K.
What?
Boom, boom, boom.
Hey.
I'm bugging outside.
Hey.
I love it.
You know, shout out to all of the day one fans. Like, being able to do this reunion tour really brought me back to, you know, how tragic it was for a lot of our fans that we broke up. Mm. Yeah. And how they really never let go of that. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful reunion to link awesome. Up with the fans.
You know what I just learned like recently? That, nigga, we getting ready to die. It's going to be over. It's just keep this shit loving.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost over, nigga.
Yo. Yeah,
no, it's almost over, nigga. Yo. It's love, nigga. Yo. It's over. Fuck yeah. That shit in the past. It's over. It's over.
Yo.
It's gone. It's over. We're over.
Hey, it's over.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it's my over. Life. It's over.
It's gotta be.
Man, yeah. Yeah, so it was dope, man. The whole experience. So after that, yeah, because we just ended it on a super high note. We did Drake's OVO Fest in Toronto, and we headlined
and
the first day.
Out.
Oh man,
it's packed, man. Did they go crazy and everything? It's okay.
Hey, you already know.
Grown now. Those girls are older. They're with yeah. now.
That's dope. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
No, where your room at? Yeah. What you doing tonight?
Nah, you still what's up, do that? How old are you? I still do that shit, nigga. Fuck!
I'm
34.
I'm
34. I'm
34. No. It's
not
the
baby at 30. You know, you think that sounds old when you're young, but at 30, right. You're fucking baby. You think like you're 20s. Yeah. You're fucking a kid. Yeah. You're still young. You're still strong. If you take care of yourself,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you still. So you feel great. Yeah. I used to think I was an old motherfucker at 30, but I felt my peak. I said, fuck,
for real.
I'm strong. I'll fuck a motherfucker up. It feels good.
Come
I
on.
Put in my clothes.
Doing hour shows, performing every night, sell out shows. You know what I mean? Giving that energy, getting that awesome. Energy back. Awesomeness.
There's no feeling like that to know that somebody loves you. The thought of somebody loving you gets in, fucking ignites you to be better.
Yo.
The thought of it, not the actual fact, but just the thought of it.
Yo.
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
The thought of it.
I'm so thankful for that. Like, mad fans have come up to me and just was like, you know, thank you. Thank
it's dope as hell, man.
You know what I'm saying? Icebox, man, that helped me get through a breakup. I'm like, yo, this is why I do this.
No, but, you know, guys that, you know, have been successful, like, especially in the spotlight, a lot of us are insecure. So from the beginning, the reason that we even started doing this stuff because somebody patted us on the back and said we were good at something.
Right. Right.
And we always need that feeling to the day we die for some reason. In any kind of way. Man, good seeing you something again. Hey, I remember you did it. That was an incredible show. Oh, yes, remember. Hey, remember back in the day when such and such was alive? Yes, that you need that for some reason.
Hmm.
It's some people's all about that.
Yeah.
Keeping it going, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a vibration. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's all vibration.
Yeah, it's a vibration. So.
Well, I guess that's like the fighter's thing of, you know, always fighting from a place of anger.
No, some people do it from a skullduggery perspective. What am I getting out of this? How am I going to get from this?
Yeah.
Just look at this. They look at the fight. When he makes that move, is this going to be successful? Instead of me just making him being aggressive, making him panic and make mistakes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people look, somebody takes their time. Some fighters are like that. Like Floyd Mayweather, he takes his time.
Mm.
It's like painting. It's like painting a fucking picture. He looks at it, boom, he's masterful.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's like that. Some people just do the rush kill.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's I like that perspective.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many athletes can come from that perspective early on in their careers, you know.
Depends on their teacher.
Yeah.
It all has to do with our teachers.
Yeah. You know. So as an entertainer or performer, how do you come from love? You know what I'm saying?
I think it has to just, you know.
What's your perception of love? How did it become that perception that you think it is?
I think it's because I've always had a natural, genuine approach to things. So I think that I've always found purpose in things because of that, you know.
So you found purpose in love?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, okay, what am I doing this for? Or I'm doing this for someone, or I'm doing it for myself and someone else.
Yeah.
So I kind of have had that perspective with all of my experiences.
Words are powerful.
The thought.
Yeah, the thoughts and words are powerful.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We are definitely what we think we are. The illusion of ourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well.
So what is it? This is a world tour of a national tour.
Oh, yeah. Well we ended on OVO.
In Toronto.
Yeah, in Toronto. Yeah.
Where else did you go?
Man, we did 44 dates.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a schedule. You know, we were doing 5 shows a week.
Wow.
Week after week sometimes. So, you know, this wasn't like before, you know, when we were younger. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This was a little bit different, but all in all, man.
That's a grind.
Yeah, it was a grind, and it was an amazing experience.
You know, something weird. Isn't that funny? I was telling my wife how we still feel fucking awesome up there, but our body's getting old and it's wearing out. Right? You feel great, don't you, up here, right?
Well, see, well, yeah, but I train. I'm in the gym. You know, me and my brother just rode 38. Miles on the bike.
Oh, yes, you got to do
yeah, that. Yeah, you so, got to.
We're
the weather away on you.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. So, you know, I'm dancing. You know what I'm saying?
We, yeah.
Yeah, I.
You have to.
And listen, yeah, I take care of my
appetite. The person that lives the longest, if he doesn't get shot or hit by the car or get poisoned or nothing like that, right. The person that lives the longest is the one that has the most muscle mass. Mm. Yes, if it's natural living and yeah. there's no poison, no incidents, it's natural. I'm living every day by day. The one with the most muscle mass lives the longest. Mm.
Yeah, so I'm pride. I take a lot of pride in taking care of myself. So, you know,
it's great, dude. It's great.
Yeah. So after the tour, myself and a great friend of mine and just amazing, you know, Grammy Award writer and entertainer James Fauntleroy, we have a project. It's titled.
What song he wrote that got the fucking Grammy?
It's a Justin Timberlake. Hold on, let me. It's a Justin Timberlake song. No, I'm sorry, Bruno Mars song.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, it's a Bruno Mars song, but he did. Yeah, he's written songs for Justin Timberlake.
This guy ain't
as well.
Never bad on the song. Everything he
said. Which one? Oh yeah, he wrote Beyonce for Beyonce as well.
Oh, he a bad. He's right. He's a bad kid.
Yeah, so shout out to my boy James Fauntleroy.
James, baby. Hey.
Fauntleroy.
The writer.
Hey.
The writer.
You feel
not
me?
The fighter, the writer. Nah, the writer. Hey, that's your name. Should be the writer. The writer, nigga. I'm the yeah. writer, motherfucker.
Yeah, so we just finished up a project titled Passport, and that's going to be, you know, my new album that I have coming. It's an experience. It's a visual experience. So we're about to start shooting that.
You need to try some psychedelics. You ever tried some mushrooms before?
Yeah.
Oh, good, man. I'm glad you're on that path.
He's on that.
We all right.
He's on the plant medicine.
Okay. Yes, the plants is talking.
Oh, man, you start seeing, start laughing, can't stop laughing.
Yeah. That's what I love about the shrooms.
Oh, it's
just the laughter. And I think people should laugh like that, too. Like,
yeah, because that's what life is. It's going to be over soon.
You got to laugh. You got to have a good laugh.
It's a joke. We gone. What the fuck is all about? Why were we born? Why did we live? Why are we dying? Fuck. What's happening? Why? Why?
Yo, you was getting lit, Mike. You did your one-man show, too?
Yeah.
Yo, you was fucking doing mad work.
I couldn't do it if I wasn't lit.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't smoke. There's no way. I would say, how the hell can I do these shows if I'm not smoking?
Yeah.
How the fuck can I do these shows? My wife would say, hey, just try not. How the hell can I do it if I can't smoke? I'll be too paranoid. Whoa. In my feelings, I'd be feeling stuff. Too many, too close. This place is too small. A couple of hundred people, I'd be freaking.
Well.
Yeah, so we gonna put some new music out and just a lot of just creativity.
So who's on your new album? You got any guests on the album?
Nah, it just this is this
bum, is bum bum
bum. Me and James.
Guests, nah, some fucking guests on it. Everybody gets guests on the album.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably do some collabs in the future for sure. This is like a real personal album because this has to do with my transformation in life, you know, and it really stemmed from just finding self-love. And I think that is what people need to do more. You know, figure out what self-love is.
No. How do you show them the direction? I look at you, talk to me, self-love. Well, my first perspective, self-love. You know, when I first heard this shit, right? To me, why don't I love myself?
Right.
I had that beautiful girl last night. That's loving myself. I bought that beautiful suit the other day. Yeah. I'm driving this beautiful car. I bought this car for myself. That's loving myself. I bought this house. This fucking. I bought the plane.
Yeah, but it
I bought
doesn't mean spoiling yourself.
That's
though.
I don't know if that's even spoiling myself.
Shit. Yes,
it
is.
That's a form of. But I think of myself. That's what I think of loving myself. Right. Just giving myself a bunch of shit that I don't even need.
Yeah. Nah. That's not a healthy perspective in my personal perspective.
Yeah, that's not even healthy. Yeah, that's exactly
that,
right.
That perspective isn't healthy because it's like you got
to... So how do you explain to somebody like I would, how do you explain to them to love themselves and take care of themselves?
I mean, first, you know, I would find, you know, something that might be, you know, I would say read, you know. I would say read. I would offer that
up. Supposed to go like this. I never read before. I'm a fucking boxer. I fought for a living.
Let me help you. Let's learn how to read together. Let's learn how to develop that.
Audio book or some shit.
Yeah, let's start with the audio books and then let's like, you know, let's see what you're interested
in learning.
But
how can somebody tell you that if they're ashamed, if they can't read and if they're 30 years old or something?
I mean, I'm no therapist, you know, but.
To this day, there's still people that can't read.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember I was in a court and somebody was, he was one of the jury, he was, and the guy was saying, I can't read and write. And the girl, and he had $1 million business though.
Wow.
And so she was saying, how do you handle your business? He said, I do the work and my wife handles the numbers. But the guy couldn't read or write.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he was pulled to be a juror. You know what I mean? He was never arrested, never had a problem and stuff. He had $1 million, but he couldn't read and write. Hmm.
Did he become a juror?
No.
I would say, Mike, that self-love really has to do with just being familiar with who you are. Like, why are you attached to things, you know? Why do you want to do things? Like, you have to ask yourself these questions. And I think when you self-realize, then you're able to understand.
Well, I tell you, this is why we want to be accepted. That's why we have self-love.
Okay, but why do you want to be accepted?
Because I want to learn who I am.
Okay. Is that the only reason?
It has to be the only reason.
Yeah.
But is knowing who you are, what does that have to do with being accepted?
By these guys accepting me, I'm learning through their actions and the way they conduct themselves. There's a possibility that this could be self-love. It's not that I know it, but I'm looking for it. I search for it.
Right.
You know, I don't know if they know what self-love is. I don't know if I can look at somebody and say, hey, this guy loves himself. He may adorn himself with gifts. He smells with cologne, has nice clothes.
That's true.
Always have everything.
That's true.
And he's a gentleman. He doesn't have a lot of good, but he everything looks good. Hmm. I might want to conduct, but that's not the right way. I don't know. Who knows?
You got to find out for yourself.
It's all about you.
Yeah. Yes, you got to find out for yourself.
You already do it, though.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about me. I'm just talking about in general.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about in general. How do we do it? How do I find out? You know, how many years does it take?
Well, what would
Some
you say?
Some people may die before they figure it out.
What would you say about you, yourself, as far as who am I? How do I know what to do in life to be myself, to know myself?
That was my whole problem in life. That's everything. I didn't know how to live.
Now, how do you do it?
How do I do it? I don't go anywhere. I stay at home with my family. You know what I mean? My perspective is different. I don't want to fuck anybody no more. I don't want to buy a lot of fancy cars. I don't want to buy my big fucking... Well, maybe we're going to do that later. But I don't want to buy a big fucking mansion right now. Yeah. My wife don't want it, you know?
But did that stuff bring you stress before? Is that why you're saying that?
No, but I thought that was it. I thought this is what
it was. Oh, okay, I understand.
That's how you feel.
Everybody around me was that way, and everybody as a little kid that I read about was that way.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Everybody had these things, and you believe this is what you had to have to be in this crew.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And it's about paying attention to your own feelings.
Yep.
Wow.
Right?
That's tough stuff. You feel, you know, I don't know.
I know. That's not easy because that's being vulnerable to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Saying, oh, I don't actually want that car.
How come we can't help what comes in our mind? How come we can't stop what comes in our mind?
Because it's all spirit, man.
Whoa. A lot going on in the head now.
No, just like me.
It's all spirit.
And we just talking right now. And something come ahead and something goes, fuck it, Mike. He's not cool. And everything was just going great. Why do these things come in your head that you can't control stuff? And you know this is bullshit. You think, what the fuck did that come in my head for? It was going great, right?
Right. Like, why am I thinking about that? Yeah, for sure.
No, I know people look at me and say, Mike is weird and bugged up. But yes, why the fuck I say that about this guy? I like him. You know, I don't know. It's just your head looking for conflict.
Right. Well, because people are fucking... People have a very specific... psychological conscious structure that they operate from every day. living in this world. And so once you step outside of that, once you do the toad, once you get some DMT in you, once you take mushrooms, and you start to see the reality, the supreme reality that is behind everything, shit starts to get really fucking weird, man. You know?
Imagine a normal guy, like a normal businessman, and every day he sees the same people every day.
Yeah.
The same mentality.
He's stuck,
every day.
Dude.
And a guy like an entertainer, a football player, sport, see all kind of weird fucking personalities. Don't even believe they exist, but they're existing right in front of him.
Yeah.
Said, this motherfucker for real? You know? They never seen that before. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. A guy that won't shake your hand. No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
How you going to sign a contract? No, I don't want to shake your hand. They never experienced anything like that.
Yeah. No, it's true, man. Well, shit, brother. It's been awesome having you guys in here.
Thank you guys for having us, man. Much respect.
Right, so what do you guys do? What are you doing? Like when y'all leave here, what the fuck are you going to do?
That's a good question.
I think we got some shit to do.
You got your workout in already?
We got to get that in.
No,
listen, this is how it goes. Let me explain something to you, right? You got to win the day. In order to win the day, you got to win the morning.
Yeah, for sure. I worked out this morning, though.
Get that workout in before your life starts. Then the day is already won.
That's facts.
Absolutely.
That's facts.
Hey, he always says that.
Definitely. Yeah, for real. That's my shit.
Yo, that's true.
That's my shit.
Absolutely true. Absolutely.
It's the truth.
Ready to rock.
Come on, world. I'm ready, world.
Right. Come on. What you got?
Hell yeah, dude. I love that.
But thank you guys so much. Hey, T, when the facility open, my brother, we want to come back through.
Man, the facility hell yeah. This is where we at.
So we come pull up anytime.
You guys are coming. You guys are there.
Yeah.
How long do y'all got to be in the studio before y'all go on tour? Like normally fighters do 6 weeks.
Interesting. Okay. Is it comparable?
Well, no, because it's like we always, as we say, keep the place spinning. So, you know, we might be working on this project over here, and then this one might take precedence, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, we're working on this, and that might happen first, you know what I'm saying? So we always got some spinning place going. So studio's at the crib.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, we working.
So you're always in there.
Yeah, we working.
What about Trey Songz? You guys ever do songs with those guys?
Yeah, actually, Trey did a remix on Post to Be. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been...
Do y'all guys get paid when they do those remixes and stuff?
Well, I mean, it depends. Sometimes, you know, if some things worked out or...
Yeah, my friend did a stupid-ass deal. Listen, man, he made it, the 360 deal, right? No. The nigga that made he made it up. He made it up. You know what I'm saying? Why would you want to do that shit to somebody?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Own
them?
Yeah.
Why would you? Yeah.
It's an ego trip.
Listen, because at first, you know, the company said, fuck me. You said, fuck me. I'm going on tour. Fuck the company. You're living like a king still. Mm-hmm. You're getting all that money for yourself now. Now you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Now that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's slavery.
Yeah, for sure.
That's big time slavery. How can you do that? You can't fucking do that.
You can't do that. Well, yeah, you know, it's a lot of independent artists now, you know what I'm saying? And I think that the game is completely changing because, you know, I'm someone that started as young as I did. You know, this is the first time that I can say I'm outside of the system and I own my masters. So that's really kind of like the life of an entertainer and, you know.
You just have to own your masters. That's number one, right?
That's so important. And
the greatest artists in the world lost their masters, huh? Some of the greatest, huh?
Yeah, it's your hard work. It's all your hard work, you know what I mean? And it's the reverberating effect of that. Like, I mean, I still listen to some Marvin Gaye songs, you know what I'm saying? I still listen to, I mean, this music, the energy that's put into music is magical and it's timeless. You know, if you're a legend, you know what I'm saying? So,
you know, when I was down and out and I was lost all my money and I was fucking around with drugs and I was just a nice walk up and said, I think my children deserve to live the life that I lived. Mm. And I just kind of like straightened up. They should be able to have their planes and boats and do that stuff too. So I said, I'm going to straighten up and give them the life that I had, you know? It's not right that they shouldn't have that. You know, it's not their fault that I'm an asshole.
Right.
You know, I fucked up, right?
Right.
They should live that life, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And they're weird. I guess that's strange. He might give it all the way to Africa or Haiti or somebody because he's one of those guys that goes to the missionary. But that's him. You know, yeah. Just, I don't know. It's never with that guy. I'm that guy now.
Yeah. It
took me a long way to become that guy. But, you know, at least I got there.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
You got kids too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a 11-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, I have a 10-year. That's a trip, right? Woo. Is she a girl?
Yes.
They get ready to go to get the boobs and stuff.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It's that time right now, my girl. And she's a sixth grader now, so you know I got
middle school.
Show up to the school with the, you know, with the set trip.
Yeah.
You know, the little boys, they're gonna be liking her this year for sure.
Yeah, look, I'm saying this is crazy. This is a crazy world. I'm saying you could train it with. Because sometimes I think, God, the coach, you gotta watch the coach. You just don't know.
Yeah. I know, dude.
Yeah. Everything's like
you
crazy.
You gotta be on it.
Fuck, she got boobs now, and she's frisky a little and stuff.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
That's
man.
A trip. I got some years before that, dude. I got a 7-year-old.
It's a beautiful thing. Shout out my baby, Namiko. I love it.
That's what you do when you see you, when you look around and say, baby, does she have boobs? Are those boobs, I say?
No.
Whoa.
Ooh, no.
Does she have the ball? Does she have a period today? Oh.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Man.
That's heavy,
it's
man.
It's real. It's
heavy. I should be happy, but I'm like, fuck. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, same.
I know.
Man, that's going to give me grandkids one day. I'm going to be happy.
Hey, you know?
Right, yeah, it's right there.
Yes.
I'm going to be telling them stories that my kids don't want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've already heard them. Well, where can people find you, man, and check you out?
Yeah, you know, holla at the boy on Instagram, Omarion. That's Twitter as well if you're into social media. If not, you know what I mean, just go to the website.
Omarion. Tell all your girl fans where to get in touch with you.
Hey, I love y'all.
It's on now. Time is on. You're single.
All
now.
Of my ladies. All of my ladies. Thank you so much for your energy. Y'all all came down. Y'all sold out, you know, my stomping grounds in Inglewood. Y'all sold it out, the Forum, two nights
this
in a
row. This sounds like Marvin Gaye. This motherfucker sounds like Marvin Gaye.
No, I'm just being honest. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy
gratitude
that the,
is beautiful.
You know, it's
man.
Gratitude. It's awesome. I will see you soon. Love you. You want to say something, bro?
Go ahead, bro.
You know, just want to say, hey, follow me on Instagram, Papa Sonny, S-O-N-N-I-E. Peace, love, and abundance. Center yourself. Love yourself.
Yiddy. We out.
Love that. Thanks, guys. Great show, Mike.
Abundance.
Hey, everybody. That was a great episode.
Absolutely. A lot of love.
Thank you.
In the air.
A lot of love. Great stuff. Great wisdom shared. Check us out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hotboxing with Mike Tyson. Check out our website, hotboxingpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Evan Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson. Boom. Omarion.
Omarion.
And we're out of here.
I mean, you must still
peace.
See, because I know when I was, you must still see some amazing looking women, huh?